Proverbs chapter number 6 tonight, we'll start reading with verse number 20. Proverbs chapter number 6, starting in verse number 20. And here's what the Bible says. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instructions are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, and from the flattery of the tongues of strange women, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not burn? So he that goeth unto his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he shall steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. And he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and a dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Very interesting, Proverbs chapter 6, the way it wraps up. We've been talked about many things here in chapter number 6. The last part was really our personal behavior and how it affects others. Now he's talking to us as his children once again, taking us aside and saying, listen, I've got something very, very important for you to know. I'm going to talk to you as a father speaks to a son. I'm going to put my arm around you and draw you close and let you know how precious you are to me, how much I love you and how much I need you and how much you need me. But I want the very best for you. And as a father, the only way for me to give you the very best is by you listening to what I have to say. So we're going to take a look here in chapter number 6 at the conclusion of this chapter, Father. Now bless our lesson. Teach us what we must know. Help us to take this as you speaking to us individually, privately, away from everything and everyone. You and just me sitting there and you telling us some very important things. Now guide us and direct us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take your Bible, go back to Proverbs chapter number 1 just for a moment. And I want you to read with me, as I read aloud, I want you to read verse number 8 and verse number 9 of chapter number 1. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and a chain about thy neck. Now look in verse number 20 of chapter 6. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Huh, sounds familiar, huh? He just told us that at the very beginning. Now he's telling us again. You know, when a parent repeats something, they're serious. If mama says, don't do that, and then looks back at you and said, I said, don't do that. Mama's serious. If dad says, don't go over there, and looks at you again and says, I'm telling you, don't go over there. He's very serious about that. When God looks at you and me as his child, he says, listen, there's something I need you to know. I need you to be very astute about this. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. God is being very serious here to you and me. He just said that at the beginning of the book, just a few chapters ago. He's repeating it word for word. And in verse number 9 of chapter number 1, he says, For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy necks. But look at what it says in verse 21. Bind them continually upon thine heart. It's not just something we need to know in our mind. It's something that's got to be in our heart. These are very serious things he's talking to you and I about. Tie them about thy neck. So what? They can go everywhere we go. So they're there for us. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. Now I'm going to ask you to circle some words as we get to them. I want you to circle the word lead. When thou goest, it shall lead thee what? The commandment of thy father and the law of thy mother. That's what's going to lead you. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. Notice the word keep. I've circled that word keep. Highlight that word keep. So it's going to lead you. It's going to keep you. Keep thee. So when I'm sleeping, I need something to keep me right. I've got to think the right things. I've got to dream the right dreams. I've got to have the right thoughts. Even while I'm sleeping, God says it's very important that we have our mind right, even sleeping. So what do we want to dream about? What do we want to think about while we dream? And as we sleep, we want to think about the commandments of the Father and the law of our mother. We want to keep them. We want them to become important to us. And when thou awakest, I'd circle that word or highlight that word, awakest. Because when we wake up, that's what needs to be on our mind. Not the news of the day. Not what do I have to do today? Oh, not another day. I hate getting up in the morning. But when we awake, we need to realize that He wants us to be thinking about some things that are going to guide us through the day. They're going to keep us. They're going to strengthen us. They're going to help us. They're going to keep us safe. What is? The commandments of our Father and the law of our Mother. And that's, I want you to notice, it shall talk with thee. Huh. So it's going to lead me, it's going to keep me, it's going to help me when I'm sleeping, it's going to help me when I awake. I need to have it upon my mind, because it's going to talk with me. It's going to talk with thee. I circled that word, talk. These are very real things he's saying. He's saying they'll lead us, they'll keep us, they'll help us to sleep, they'll help us to wake, they'll talk with us. What? The commandment of our Father and the law of our Mother. For the commandment is a lamp. I'd circle that word lamp. You know what a lamp does? It helps us see where we're going. If you walk through a dark room and the world is full of darkness, without a lamp, you're going to trip and fall every time. You're going to constantly be running into things. You're going to be constantly hurting and in pain and in anguish from all the things you're running into. We think our eyes adjust to darkness, but I've been in caves in the four corners of the United States, where Colorado and Arizona, Utah, and New Mexico all come together. It's called Four Corners. And in Four Corners, I had a friend of mine named Brother Chitty. He took me into a gold mine that had been dug way back in the 1800s. We went into the gold mine, and as we went deeper into the gold mine, he had a flashlight. We got into the gold mine, and suddenly he said, "Everybody just stand still." There were three of us with him, and he flipped off the light, and it was black. It was so dark. I put my hand up, and I know it was up because I felt it was there, and I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. I waited. I said, let's see how long it takes for our eyes to adjust. He said, "That's a good thing, Brother Marco. You just stand there and wait for your eyes to adjust." You know what never happened? My eyes never adjusted to such darkness. You could suddenly feel the darkness around you. You start feeling uncomfortable. You don't know where you can move. You don't know where you can go. You don't know where you're at suddenly. I mean, you don't know if you can move to the left, to the right, or up, or down, or backwards, or forwards. Why? Because you just have no idea what's around you. And my eyes never adjusted, and your eyes never adjust to pitch black. Now, outside we adjust because there's moonlight. Because there's light from this earth. There's light from electrical lights that are in the neighborhood. And we'll get adjusted to the light. Inside our houses, our eyes adjust because there's light that comes in. But when you're in pitch black, total darkness, and that's what the world is in without Jesus Christ. There is no light. That's why the Lord says we are the light. We are the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And we bring that light to others. But if we're going to not walk in the law of our father and the commandments of our father and the law of our mother, which is really the word of God, the things of God, the wisdom of God, if we're not going to walk in those, we're walking in pitch blackness, and I'm telling you, we're going to get hurt constantly. And isn't that the way our life is? Isn't that the way things are for you and me? We're constantly getting hurt. We're constantly running into things. We're constantly, even oftentimes, and many times, causing ourselves our own hurt. Because we're not seeing where we can go. That commandment is a lamp. And the law is the light. You can have a lamp without light. Look over here just for a moment at this lamp I have. Right now this lamp, it's a lamp. And it's got light. But I can shut off that light. And it took out of the lamp, but it's not going to help me. I got to have a light. And so I need both. I just don't need what I have. I need what God has for me. And what is it that God has for me? He says the commandment is the lamp, but the law is the light. And reproof of instructions are the way of life. Remember when we first started the study, I said there were 10 words we needed to know. One of those words is the word instruction. And we see it right here. It says reproofs of instruction. Let's go back and let me give you that definition of that word instruction again. It comes from the Greek or Hebrew, I'm sorry, it comes from the Hebrew word chastisement, also used in our Bible as the word reproof. That means this, a restraint or a warning. It's an authoritative direction to be obeyed. That's what instruction is. Reproof is to remind us. A chastisement means this. That means to correct the direction in which we're going. It doesn't necessarily mean a spanking. It doesn't mean the death penalty. What it really means is a correction of the direction in where we're going. And so we need to have our lives corrected for where we're going. By what? By having instruction. What is instruction? An authoritative direction to be obeyed. God's given us an authoritative direction to be obeyed. He wants us to change the way we live. It's a lamp. The law is a light. The reproof of instruction is the way of life. That's the direction of life. It's not just how we live life. That's the direction that life goes in. To keep thee from the evil woman. So now he's going to give us the instruction. What's the instruction that we need to be aware of? Here's the instruction. To keep thee from the evil woman and from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by the means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread. You know what a piece of bread is worth? Not much. Not much. And the adulteress will hunt for precious life. So let me make two statements as we continue before we continue to read. We need to be careful. Men must be careful. Women must be careful. Because we need to make sure that we live our lives in such a way that we as men don't go looking after women in the wrong way. We don't need to look at the things of... Listen, if you're married, thank God for the wife you have and keep your eyes on her. Look not after somebody else. Lust not after somebody else. Don't desire that which is not yours. Remember, we have to control our eyes. It's our responsibility. That's what he's telling us. For us to control our eyes. And ladies, it's important that we present ourselves in a form in which does not cause men to lure, to lust, or lure after us. It's important that ladies dress like ladies. Talk like ladies, behave like ladies. We got to be careful. We live in a generation of what I call nakedness. We strip off everything we can strip off and flaunt everything that we have to tempt everybody that we can because we don't believe in the sanctity of marriage anymore. But God says this kind of behavior brings a man to a piece of bread. It makes a woman an adulteress. And she's going to hunt now for the precious life. What's that precious life? To destroy that of a man's life. Warning. Verse 27. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can he go upon hot coals and his feet not burn? So he that goeth to his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Boy, God's getting real specific here. We need to be careful how we handle ourselves and how we handle others. You know, everything starts, I hate to get this down basic to it, but everything starts with a touch. It starts with a touch. And we need to be careful how we present ourselves as Christians. Why? Because we're supposed to be that light in a dark world. See? Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy a soul when he is hungry. That makes sense. If somebody's really hungry and they break into a store to get some food so that they can eat, men don't hate that person for that. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. Okay, he has broken the law. He needs to restore it. Okay? And shall give all of his substance. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. That word understanding is an interesting word. That's one of those 10 words I gave at the beginning of the study. Understanding means to apply the view of God, to comprehend it and accept it. That's the word understanding. To apply the view of God, to accept it, to comprehend it, I mean, and to accept it. So when we behave this way, gentlemen, it tells God and it tells everybody else we don't have any wisdom. We have rejected what God has taught us to do. And he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. I cannot tell you how many people's lives have been absolutely wrecked and ruined by the sin of adultery. And the sin of adultery comes first by lusting after a woman. By the way, both man and woman are guilty of it. And it destroys both of their lives. Just this week in the news, we've heard about General Petraeus. What a shame to have such a blight on such a wonderful record of service to our country. And now look at him, how people will look at him. It's never going to go away. It can't go away. It's a mark that stays forever. Look what it says here. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Verse 33, a wound and a dishonor shall it get. And his reproach shall not be wiped away. So it's going to be there forever. Now God's going to forgive it, but it's not wiped away. Sin has a result. That result will stay forever. Forever and ever. Now his wife and him are going to have problems. Now his children will look at him not as a wondrous way. He's going to, all sorts of parts of his life are wrecked and ruined. All these years that he has spent being an example to other men, now it's all been lost. I know a man right now that sits in jail today, a preacher, who sits in jail right as I'm speaking today, who led many preachers across America. He himself led many preachers across America, wrote many books, preached many sermons. And because of the act of adultery, and because of his act being with a minor, he sits in prison today. Why? Because he got foolish. How did he get foolish? Well, it says it right here. He lacked understanding. What's understanding? Remember that word understanding? Remember that definition? Let's take a look at it again. It's to apply the view of God. He wasn't applying the view of God when temptation came. He didn't comprehend it, and he certainly didn't accept it. He thought he could be the exception to the rule. And every time you and I think we can be the exception to the rule, we're not. A wound and dishonor shall he get. And this man now sits in jail. Everything he preached, no one's going to listen to anymore. All the people that once followed him will never follow him again. All the things that he wrote in the books that he published will never be read. You might as well just throw them away and burn them because nobody's going to read them anymore. Why? Because it's not going to be wiped away. It's a dishonor that never gets wiped away. Not by God, not in his own heart, and not from the people of this world. Even the world knows it's wrong. For jealousy is the rage of man. So there's going to be a price to pay. And for he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Talking about man now. And he will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content though thou givest many gifts. So it doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how well you behave yourself. It's going to be a blight on you for the rest of your life. And I'm going to go on further and make this statement. It's not just adultery. The Bible says to look at a woman and lust after it is the same as committing adultery. So that means pornography does the same thing to a man or a woman. It's the same as an adulterous affair. To hang around with the wrong crowd and to be involved with the wrong things when it comes to sexual activity is just wrong. It's just wrong. And it keeps getting worse, and it keeps getting worse, and it keeps getting worse. And it's destroying our nation. It's destroying the men of our nation. It's destroying the minds of our nation. Why? It's a rebuke. I think about the man, his name escapes me momentarily, who was a football coach for Penn State. And now his life is wrecked and ruined. Why? Because of sexual sin. Sexual sin destroys. Proper sexual activity promotes life. The Bible says it's a reward, and children are the reward of that relationship. It always destroys. It always hurts. And it's something that's never forgotten. I talked to a man just the other day who has overcome a problem with pornography. And I asked him how he got over it, and he was telling me, and I said, So how you been doing now these many years have gone by without... He said, I don't have it, but I don't think of myself of any value. He said, I have a hard time thinking that I'm worth anything. Because I know what I've done. I know how it controlled me. And it has constantly worked on my mind and worked in my life. And I have a very low self-value because of my sin. That's exactly what the book of Proverbs chapter 6 is talking about. So God says, hey, I'm telling you something very important. Stay away from that behavior. It will destroy you. Father, thank you for what we've learned today. Thank you for the